Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Unscaled Travel Show. I'm Jeremy Long, the Full Metal Traveler. So happy that you decided to join us. You have a lot of options out there, but you chose us, and we're so excited. I'm crying. Weepy. My co-explorer, as always, Amy Long.
Hi.
We have a really fun show for you today. We're going to talk about one of our favorite cities that we've visited on our international travels, and that's Osaka, Japan. Osaka, Japan. We had this great trip to Japan within the last couple of years, and we got to visit Tokyo and Osaka, Kyoto. We hit a lot of the major cities in Japan, but Osaka kind of stands out to us.
Yeah.
We had so much fun there. There's so much to do there. And we wanted to kind of pass some of our recommendations, some of our stories on to all of you. But, you know, you just mentioned you really loved Osaka. What about it did you love?
I did. I mean, we started in Tokyo and then we moved to Osaka. And it's still a very large city.
Yeah.
But it did not feel as large and congested as Tokyo did. It felt a little more maybe laid back and not so much hustle and bustle. So, like, to me, Tokyo is more like New York City and Osaka is more like Chicago. Like, it's still a big city. There's still a lot going on, but it's just a little bit calmer.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I mean, we only spent a few days there, but to me, those were the best days of the trip.
Yeah, it definitely different energy, different vibes from each city. And I think you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, Tokyo definitely has this like New York kind of feel, and Osaka has, you know, if you want to call it Chicago, that's fine. I mean, name a different city, but just has a little bit less frantic energy.
Yeah, less hustle and bustle kind of feel.
You get a dime every time you say that.
Hustle and bustle.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So, you know, looking deeper at Osaka, and really there is so much to do. We'll try to get to some of the things that we hit so we can, you know, hopefully help you plan your next trip. But just looking at it in general. Now, Osaka it's very old. It's a very old city. It goes back thousands of years. Won't bore you with all that history, but to their native peoples and everything. And the name Osaka actually means large hill or large slope. And it actually wasn't the original name of this city, but somewhere around 1490 something, that's when the name Osaka first appears. Before that, it was actually called Naniwa. Naniwa.
Okay.
Why they changed it, why they decided to give the name over, I don't know. It's like Constantinople and Istanbul, right? I don't know. The people there decided, nah, we're going to have a fresh, I guess they knew it had a PR campaign. Fresh thing for tourism. I don't know. But
Osaka is just more fun to say. Although, Naniwa. That's pretty fun to say too. And I know I'm not saying it right.
You're making me choke here. So currently though, it's the third largest city in Japan, 2.7 million people. But it, like you said, it doesn't feel like, maybe because it's so spread out or maybe it's because it's a very well-designed city. It doesn't feel at times like people are on top of you.
Yeah.
Unless you are in one of these districts that we're going to talk about in a little bit where there's a lot of people because it's a very popular place.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of feel like, okay, yeah, there's a lot of people all jam-packed into this little area. So overall, Osaka is a large economic hub for Japan. It is one of their major financial centers. You're going to find huge international companies with headquarters there like Panasonic, Sharp. A lot of our imports here in the United States as far as electronics mainly find their roots in Osaka. And it's recognized as one of the most multicultural and cosmopolitan cities in Japan. This is where you're going to find where I think Tokyo, you might find hip and trendy things. Osaka is where you're going to find people that are just more open to maybe things like interracial relationships and being more world citizens as opposed to maybe other areas, because that's kind of what cosmopolitan means. It's like world citizens and people that, you know, like to travel themselves and kind of see the world through a different lens.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Tokyo is very like, there are a lot of skyscrapers, a lot of offices, a lot of people. Everywhere we looked, it looked like people were going or coming from work. Osaka felt a lot more like people were just enjoying being in the city. It just had this very different feel to it. It did feel less like corporate in a way, even though, I mean, as you just said, giant companies are like, they call Osaka home, but it just had a much more like casual feel.
Yeah, it really did. And it's one of these cities. The thing I liked about it is that yes, the public transportation is very good. The trains run pretty much on time. But it's also kind of this, like a really walkable city.
Yeah. Yeah. We walked quite a bit, but we did also take the metro.
Yeah. We took the metro and they, you know, have the underground metro and they also have trains, and even they do have Uber. Let me set the scope for you here. They do have Uber, but it's all to call taxis. Mm-hmm. So it's like Uber taxis. It's just going through the app and everything, which is very reliable, which is a very affordable way to get around town.
Yeah.
If that is your chosen method. It was a few bucks here and there to go pretty lengthy distances. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, they do have certain surge prices at different times. But for the most part, getting around Osaka and the surrounding neighborhoods and little cities that are kind of all conglomerated around this, in the Metroplex, I guess, it's really easy.
It was. I mean, there were a few days that we were doing day trips out of Osaka, which we'll talk about that in a minute. But it was going to take us a while to get there via metro. So we did just do the Uber taxi and got to the bullet train station much faster than taking the metro. But you certainly could take the metro to the bullet train, one of the bigger bullet train stations, if you wanted to do purely public transportation.
People may be wondering, like, what are the best times? What are the best seasons to visit? Seasonally, fall and spring, because the summers there are hot and it's very humid.
Yes.
We went in June. We found that out.
I don't know why I didn't realize it was going to be so humid. Japan is an island. But we went in June and I can say growing up on the Gulf Coast of the United States, I felt like I was back home in Japan. It was just hot and muggy and slightly uncomfortable the entire time. We're not used to it. We live in the desert now. So it took some adjustment. I'm glad I overpacked because I think I wore everything.
Yes. I mean, we even did laundry.
We did laundry.
In Osaka. And it's what it's like. I brought all these nice pants. I thought I was going to like try to be nice and trendy and like upscale. No, I wore shorts. And I was like, I don't know if they frown upon this or not, but I'm wearing shorts because I was sweating through everything.
And let's just talk about the laundry situation. They don't really do clothes dryers. So like they have washing machines, but there weren't a lot of dryers. The hotel we were in did have a dryer, but it only held like 3 shirts. And we had that dryer going for 2.5 hours and it didn't even dry our 3 shirts. So we ended up taking all of our wet laundry back up to our hotel room and it was laid out on every surface possible. And we had hair dryers drying our clothes in the hotel room.
I think they're meant for smaller loads and we stuffed as much as we could because you're paying for it or whatever. But there were all kinds of people lined up behind us. So they were just like, what's going on here? We had laundry everywhere in our room, kids' rooms, everywhere. I'm just saying that, you know, you just want to plan ahead for your travels. Off peak is December to February when it's wintertime there. But when we went in summertime, also it's very hot, but it's also monsoon and typhoon season. We got a lot of rain. A
lot of rain.
When we showed up, it is what it is. You know, we had fun. I'm thankful for the cloud cover, though, because it kept it a little bit cooler. We're talking Osaka, Japan. Stick it right here. Stay right here. There you go. The Upscale Travel Show.
Upscale Travel Show is brought to you by Diamondback Land Surveying. For all your land surveying needs, contact Diamondback Land Surveying at 702-823-DBLS.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Unskilled Travel Show. I'm Jeremy Long, the Full Metal Traveler. As always, you can find us online, fullmetaltraveler.com. We're coming to you from the Diamondback Land Surveying Studios in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm here with my co-explorer, Amy Long.
Hi.
We're chatting about Osaka, Japan. We're giving you a little facts and history, but now we're going to, you know, share with you our knowledge on where to eat, what to go see and do, what's popular, and, you know, let you make your own judgments. This is a warning. I will name these restaurants that we went to and we ate at, and I'll maybe even spell them out for you. I cannot do a disservice and try to name the streets that are on, because that ain't happening.
I mean, the one I just pointed out to you, I think it probably had 30 letters in it, and most of them were N's.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say this word.
I don't want to disrespect the people in Japan, and I know I'm showing my ignorance here, but yes, I we'll leave the list under the show notes, as always, for these places, but, you know, you'll have to Google map them.
Yeah.
Or Apple, or whatever your GPS of choice is, but... You know, going around Osaka, I mean, we hit some pretty varied places. And there were a few places we wanted to hit that when we went, they were still just opening from their COVID lockdown.
Yeah.
So a lot of places, both shopping and eateries and places like this, still had, I think, their old hours, like before the coronavirus did its thing. And so they were, it was still kind of hit and miss.
Right.
We showed up at a number of places when they said they were open and they were closed, and it looked like they hadn't been open in quite a while.
Yeah. Yeah. We checked websites. We would even go by there, and on the door it would say they'd be open from 10 to 5, and it would be 2 o'clock in the afternoon and they were closed. So yeah. I'm sure it's different now, but just be aware. Sometimes when you travel, you have to be flexible. There was one restaurant that you really wanted to try. That hamburger place, what was it called?
The Butcher.
The Butcher. We went there twice to eat.
Yeah.
Closed both times.
We were just, you know, craving an American-style hamburger, and they had other options, I think steak and things like that, or barbecue. They said they offered barbecue and things. We went there at least twice, and they were closed each time. So, and we did our due diligence, and you just kind of have to roll with it, because there's tons of great places to eat. But you know how you know, like when your heart gets set on something?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I want to have a hamburger. And it just isn't happening. It's just not in the cards. Yeah, it was a little bit like that. But for reference, we did stay at the Fairfield Marriott right in the middle of Osaka, or pretty close to the center.
Namba, I think, is the neighborhood.
Namba. Fairfield Namba Marriott there. So you can look that up for reference to where we were and kind of see where we were, which puts us within walking distance of the very popular Dotonbori.
I think that's how you say it, Dotonbori.
Yeah, okay, Dotonbori shopping area, which is tons of shops, tons of places to eat, gaming facilities, and it's...
street vendors, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, street food of every kind. And this is where you're going to catch most of the pictures of Osaka. If it's lively and it's got those huge... signs, outdoor signs, that's the neighborhood that they're taking pictures of.
I loved it, because that's where, remember we were driving to our hotel and we were watching signage pass, and there was this huge mechanical octopus like hanging off the side of a building doing, it looked like he's cutting up sushi.
Like hibachi?
Yeah. And like that's one of the entrances into this neighborhood. Yeah. And so the signs just got bigger and flashier, and like I immediately knew I want to go walk around this area.
Yeah.
If nothing more than to just take pictures of the signs. And we got some fantastic pictures of signs.
And it almost reminded me of home. It reminded me of Vegas a little bit. You know, tons of people walking around, taking pictures, just shopping, just, you know, and the stalls are outside. Yeah. So if you want street food, which it is, that neighborhood is famous for, it's all very much fun. But close to us, we started out almost every single morning. Hey, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, right?
Yeah.
Eating-wise, we found a wonderful little coffee shop called Cora.
Cora Coffee.
Cora Coffee. C-O-R-A Coffee. And it's one of these places that just, they have a little bit of everything. It was kind of like French mixed with, a Japanese fusion. You could get cappuccinos and croissants, but also like more traditional Japanese fare for breakfast.
And to make it easy for those of us who do not speak Japanese, they had menus where you could just say, point to it, and it was like option A, and it was a coffee and a croissant, or option B, and a couple of different things. Because when we walked in the first day, I don't think anyone in there really spoke English well, so they just gave us that menu and pointed for us to point. Yeah. The second day we went back, and a few of the people in there did speak English, so we felt a little dumb when we go to point to the menu, and the guy's like, cappuccino and croissant. Yeah,
he spoke perfect. He spoke better English than I did.
Yeah, and I was like,
and I'm all pointing at it like, this one? And he just kind of rolled his eyes. But I mean, it's how you deal with tourists, right? I mean, but everyone there was very friendly.
Very friendly.
You just know they've gone through the works before with tourists stopping in. And it's a lovely little place to start. And that's why almost every single morning we were in Osaka, we started right there, great coffee, started our day off right. And it's also within walking distance of, like you said earlier, the metro stations, whether you're going underground or taking the trains.
Yeah.
It was in, I think, a 5-minute walk to either little place, if even that.
It didn't feel very far at all. We would stop and get our coffee and then either head to the metro or to the downtown area. And it's just a great way to start the day. And we did have some days where we weren't sure when or what we were going to be eating. So it was nice to know that, hey, at least we had coffee and croissants for breakfast.
Yeah. And like you said, so going back to the Dontonbori, right? It's within walking distance, maybe a 10-minute walk.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where you're going to find like the famous Glico sign.
From like the 1930s, yeah, right?
It goes back to like the 1930s, 1940s. I mean, it's a very old, famous sign. And it reminded me so much of home that I was just like, but you're still standing in awe because they go out. You mentioned the octopus one, but there were all kinds of signs with different characters like coming out of buildings, on top of buildings.
It was so neat.
You spend
to see.
More time taking pictures
it
of signs.
It almost felt like amusement park-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just really neat. I mean, so many photos. So many.
And that's where we first tried dango.
Yes.
Dango, which is like a dumpling. It's almost like a sweet dumpling.
Yes, it's like a boiled dough, or I guess a fried dough, but it's not like a donut where it's cooked all the way. It's still a little bit chewy in the middle, but our son is the one who told us he wanted to try this. So, and you are not a fan of eating from street vendors, but we came across one and we're like, okay, we're going to try it. And this particular version was in kind of a sweet sauce, but you get three little dumplings on a skewer. So we each... like, we got two skewers so we could all share them. It was good. We did try it in a different place, and it didn't have that same sweet sauce on it. So a little bit different flavor. But I guess, you know, they do different variations on the same thing.
They do. Hey, we tried it. And, you know, you go on these trips to try things.
Yeah.
Not everything works for everyone.
I did not try the octopus on a stick. That was at so many street vendors.
So many. It's Unskilled Travel Show. Be right back.
Unskilled Travel Show is brought to you by Diamondback Land Surveying. For all your land surveying needs, contact Diamondback Land Surveying at 702-823-DBLS.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Unskilled Travel Show. I'm Jeremy Long, the Full Metal Traveler. We're coming to you from the Diamondback Land Surveying Studios in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. We're talking about Osaka, Japan, some of our favorite places to eat and play and all kinds of things. I'm here with my co-explorer, Amy Long.
Hi.
We were talking about the Dontonbori shopping entertainment district.
Yeah.
That's very, very popular in Osaka, and there's a good reason why. It has a little bit of everything for everyone. Great places to eat, whether you want traditional places to you step inside like a restaurant and have some ramen, which is very popular there. Good reason, because it's all incredible. Or gaming establishments like Round One Games, which has bowling and like what are those little games?
Crane games. Yeah, they had arcade games. This building was like 5 stories, and every level was a different type of game.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. The round one games and little shopping areas like Sanrio. Has a lot of Hello Kitty.
It is the maker of Hello Kitty and all her friends. So, of course, our daughter wanted to step in and buy a few things. So we went to multiple Sanrio stores in Japan.
We mentioned trying Dango, the dumpling, street food there. Not my favorite, but we tried it. And also another place. It's kind of a chain. But if you are craving like Chinese food, in Japan, 551
Horai,
maybe Horai, 551 Horai. There are a number of shops around Osaka. It is a chain, but it's very good.
Like there were lines,
yeah,
very long lines everywhere. We saw one of these lines out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So good. We ate there twice.
Yeah, Chinese pork buns,
dumplings,
noodles. Yeah. And we got it to go. And it was still so good, like fresh and eating at the hotel and things a couple of times. That was incredible.
I forgot in Osaka is where we also ordered, because again, after a while, you kind of like craving some comfort food. And we ordered Pizza Hut.
But we did.
Do you remember the pizza in Japan is different than pizza in America?
Yes.
And I think we got a pepperoni pizza, but it had corn on it, like sweet corn. Yeah. I've never seen a pepperoni pizza with corn before.
Everybody was blaming me. They're like, what the heck did you order? And I'm like, this was the one thing. It had pepperoni. I saw pepperoni. And it had corn or something. And the guy, they delivered it right to the room. It was very prompt and everything. But they kind of sent a message and they were like, are you at this hotel? Or are you ordering pizza? I was like,
yes,
yeah,
we're
man.
American.
I did not remember corn being on pizza though, but it was like on every dish.
Yeah, it was right. there was corn on a lot of things. Corn and eggs. They put eggs on in everything, remember?
Yeah, eggs and like a boiled egg and everything. Yeah, I think we got one with the side of the pizza. And that was after we did the laundry. We had laundry hanging everywhere.
Yes.
So when I opened the door, the guy just kind of looked around our room and looked at me and was just like, he just kind of shook his head, like, I'm not even going to ask what's happening in this room.
This is why people don't like Americans.
we looked like trailer trash.
But you know what was so incredible? Mm. The macarons that we got down there.
Oh, yeah.
What was that place called?
It was called like...
Over macarons. They were so good.
Yeah.
They were right across from the Sanrio place, so while our daughter was shopping, we went and bought a box of these macarons.
Yeah, we got like 6 of them. There was like creme brulee and...
Yeah, gourmet ones.
Yeah, gourmet macarons. And we have pictures of them. They were beautiful and delicious. I almost felt bad for eating them.
I know,
but
I know.
Hey, that's what they were made for. So we ate them. So then later, after we left the Dontobori area, we also went to Osaka Castle, which is tons of fun if you like history. Most of the castle is like a museum dedicated to it. You're going to hear a lot of history, tons of fun, lots of people. But they do have shops outside of the castle where you can also do some shopping and eating. And this is where our famous octopus encounter happened.
Yes.
For all of us.
Yeah.
What was the name of that restaurant?
Crossfield. Yeah.
Crossfield Terrace Lounge in the Mirarazi. I think Mirazi shops. They're right outside Osaka Castle. It's hard to miss.
Yeah, it's all part of the same property. So once you're on property for the castle, and something to point out is, like, we had tickets to go into the castle itself, but you need different tickets to explore the grounds and the gardens and things like that. And by the time we got there, we didn't know we needed to pre-purchase tickets. So they only sell so many tickets a day for the gardens and other parts, other buildings on the property. So we could only go into the castle itself, which every floor is a level of the museum, and it's very narrow stairs.
Yeah, very narrow stairs.
I assume they have some kind of elevators for people with disabilities, but I didn't see them.
Yeah,
so
there was an elevator. They did have an elevator for people with disabilities. It was a very long line. There are older people visiting and things of that nature. So just be prepared if you go do it and you have different needs, just plan ahead, get there earlier or whatever you have to do. But we did go to the Crossfield Terrace Lounge. We kind of pointed at things. It was another one of those situations where you just...
Well, by that point, we had already learned that a lot of the menus that the restaurants post outside is not the actual menu.
Yeah.
That you would get inside and sit down and they'd hand you a completely different menu than the English one that was outside the building. Yeah. So when we walked up, we asked the lady to show us her menu, the menu, and she did. And it seemed, it said it's an Italian restaurant.
Yep.
Okay, we'll do this. We go inside and then they hand us a piece of paper that says is their summer lunch menu.
Yeah.
Not Italian food.
not Italian food. Or if it was... Well, they fooled us.
A version of Italian food, I guess, because you did get risotto.
I did technically get risotto.
Blueberry risotto.
Blueberry risotto.
So it was purple and tasted like blueberries.
Which is unexpected. I like it. Unexpected in a risotto is a blueberry taste.
I truly don't remember what my main dish was. What sticks out the most is that we all got the... octopus ceviche. It said octopus ceviche salad. In my head, I'm thinking a salad with lettuce, and it was going to have some pieces of octopus on it.
Nope.
That is not what we got.
If you could have been there for us to throw our dishes. No, we all just sat in disbelief at just looking at whole octopuses, like, oh, they're like baby octopuses.
Four plates of baby octopus set in front of us.
And we're all just sitting there, and the waiter has walked up a couple of times, like, is everything okay? And we're like, yeah, I guess.
Literally four baby octopus were sat on the table in front of us.
Mine had a little piece of grass or whatever they garnished it with.
Some parsley
like
on top
flower.
Of it.
They put like a lotus flower on top of it. That was unsettling.
So ceviche in Japan means something totally different than it does to us.
It's not like Mexican ceviche.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't eat it.
Our daughter was brave. She actually ate some of the tentacles, I think.
She did. Yeah. However, she has, we now know, a seafood allergy. It's not funny. It's really not funny.
That's one way to discover it.
Thankfully, I had Benadryl in my Benadryl allergy medicine in my bag.
And so, she has a low level, a danger to it. But that's one way to discover that your child has an allergy to something, like feed them a whole octopus. that was a little fun at Osaka Castle. And we are going to get to our favorite day trips and some tips you need to know before you go. But there was a beer, if you are a craft beer fan or anything, and this is technically Kyoto, but at the same time, you should definitely try it. It's called, what was it called?
Kizakura.
Kizakura craft beer. It's Kyoto's first craft beer, but I thought I had to mention it because it was really good. I'm really happy that I drink it on the streets like a bum. There you go, right? Octopus and beer. No better combination out there. It's the Unscaled Travel Show. We're talking Osaka, Japan. We'll be right back.
Unscaled Travel Show is brought to you by Diamondback Land Surveying. For all your land surveying needs, contact Diamondback Land Surveying at 702-823-DBLS.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Unscaled Travel Show. I'm Jeremy Long, the Full Metal Traveler, coming to you from the Diamondback Land Surveying Studios in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Here with my co-explorer, Amy Long.
Hi.
We're talking about some of our favorite places to go see and places to eat. And now favorite day trips in Osaka, Japan, from our well-versed and very hilarious overall trip to Japan. Tons of fun. I mean, leaving there, we spent a few days in Tokyo, kind of bookended our trip, days in each, and then the middle days in Osaka where we took a lot of day trips.
Yeah.
Overall feeling. I mean, it was our first time to Japan. What did you kind of leave there thinking about the country and the places?
I loved it. I can't wait to go back. But next time, I do think we pick one place and we stay a little bit longer, because we weren't really in any city more than 2 or 3 days at a time. Mm-hmm. So even though we saw a lot of stuff, it kind of felt like we were rushing through some things.
Do you think there's a pressure, like when you go on trips, people put this pressure on themselves to see as much as possible?
Absolutely.
In different areas.
We've done it to ourselves where we end up wanting to hit all those sites, and you kind of stop enjoying the trip because you're just checking off boxes.
Yeah.
Oh, did we see this? Now we have to see this. Let's go see this. It's great because you get to see all these things that are impressive and it makes you feel like you did something, but at the same time, you're not really enjoying the locale.
Yeah.
You're just moving from one thing to another. So next time we go back, I really want to just kind of slow it down. Maybe we just go stay in Osaka for a week and just really immerse ourselves in the culture.
Immerse ourselves in the new Wendy's that we hit. we stumbled upon a Wendy's. It was like their second location in the city ever. And we were like, hey, look, there's a Wendy's. And it was like their opening day.
Yeah.
And it was crazy because you go in there, and I don't know why this is standing out to me, but you go in there and they have like a traditional hamburger, you know, American style hamburger. But then they also had like penne pasta.
Yeah, they had pasta. They had seafood. I was shocked because we don't have that kind of stuff in fast food places here, really.
Yeah. I mean, but we did have chicken nuggets. So, you know, as long as they have Wendy's chicken nuggets, it's all good. But we did take some day trips from Osaka. Osaka, again, very easy to get around. Make sure you get your Japan Rail Pass to move around the city, especially if you're going to use the bullet train. I know they recently jacked up the price because it was getting so popular, but it's well worth it, especially if you're moving across the country.
Yeah.
Or you want to, if you do have any inclination to do day trips, you're going to get your money's worth with the Japan Rail Pass, because it's also good for Metro and for the train system and for
some of the buses.
Some for the buses and for the tugboats.
Yeah.
A couple of the tugboats.
Yeah, even when we're about to talk about it, when we went from Hiroshima to Miyajima, there was a boat specifically that you could use your Japan Rail Pass on. However, it was far from us, so we ended up just paying for a different boat to take us to the island.
It was a little more private, too.
Yeah.
But the less people. So let's talk about Hiroshima. Hiroshima was somewhere that we did take off from Osaka. I think it was an hour and a half.
Yeah, it was almost 2 hours to get there.
On the bullet train from Osaka to Hiroshima. We stumbled upon a really fun flower festival.
We did.
Everyone was out. I think it was like the Flower Peace Festival or something. Of course, Hiroshima is, you know, the location of one of these atomic bombs and that horribleness from World War II. So there's a lot of statues and different monuments dedicated to that.
In the Peace Park, yep.
Yeah, in the Peace Park. You would think it'd be like a sad city or something like that, because that's what you hear about it. But you go there, and it's actually this lively, wonderful community that is, I mean, the city, not community. I mean, it's this beautiful city with all of this cultural significance and tons of things to go see and do. And we were only there for a few hours. We got maybe half a day, a little over half a day there. But we did take the water taxi
over to Miyajima because we wanted to see the Otori Gate, which you've probably seen photos of this famous gate. But it is gate is kind of the word used for sort of the monument, but it's the one that sits, it looks like it's in the water. So when high tide comes in, it covers the ground and it looks like this gate's just sitting out in the water. So we took the water taxi over there. That is where we decided we were not going to stand in a very super long line to get the perfect photo of the gate, but we got a great photo over from the side.
Yeah. If you would choose to pay, you have to pay money because it's in this...
in the shrine.
Yeah, in a monastery-type shrine area. But there's tons of great photos you can have without paying, or if you don't want to waste time just standing in a line to get an Instagram photo or whatever. And then I would use that time to go explore the cities around in Miyajima and all the like temples and everything that kind of surround us. They're so beautiful.
I mean, we walked in three different ones just in that little area. And then they had this nice little shopping area. But that was one, and you know how I feel about animals. That was one of the places in Japan that has sacred deer, and they are just roaming free, and they will come up to you, and they want aggressive. To be fed.
They are aggressive sacred deer.
And the sacred deer on this particular island, these like ice cream. So they were taking ice cream out of some of the little children's hands. It was funny, but they get a little bit like kind of rough. You have to kind of like keep your food hidden, yeah. But they will smell it.
Did you see the old lady take off her flip-flop?
I did not.
How did you miss that?
I didn't see that.
One came up and she was holding ice cream and she looked away and it like bit half of her ice cream and she took off her flip flop and was like,
oh my gosh.
I don't think she ever made contact with it, but she was shooing it away. And the deer are very aggressive when it comes to ice cream.
Right.
If you don't have ice cream on you, they kind of leave you alone.
There. But a different day trip we took from Osaka, and this is probably one of my favorite things we did in Japan, is we went to Nara Park.
Nara Park, yes.
Which is where the giant, great Buddha Hall is, and that's the giant, statue of Buddha is. But in the park around it, also sacred deer. These deer like biscuits that you can buy from people there.
Mm-hmm.
And they will...
They will chase you.
They've followed people all over the park.
If you take off running, they will chase you. And like Liam Neeson, they will find you and make you pay for whatever you did.
And we saw the first one or two, and we were like taking all these pictures. And then we realized, because we didn't know how many deer. So we're like, oh, here's one or two. They bow to you. They bow because they know that's the custom. And they think, I bow, I'm getting a cookie.
Mm-hmm.
So we take pictures of the first one or two thinking, oh, well, there's probably just a couple. No, we walk around this little corner, hundreds of deer bowing to people, chasing people, trying to get cookies out of people's hands.
It was pandelirium. I'll tell you what, there were kids shouting and crying. If you're an adult and you don't have cookies, don't worry. They won't mess with you. But children, guard your children. No, it sounds like a dangerous place. It's not.
It
but
was
you
lovely.
Just, you just have to be, you know.
It really was my favorite thing we did.
Be aware of. So Nara Park in Hiroshima. We also took, 5 minutes on a bullet train, and you get to Kyoto, which is north. Kyoto, of course, probably outside of Tokyo, probably the most famous Japanese city outside of Tokyo. Where you're going to find the legendary Monkey Park that's on a hill, very tall hill that you have to climb, the Kyoto Aquarium, and, of course, the famous geisha neighborhood of Gion that they are cracking down on because tourists just can't get it together and not bother these people. So they are really cracking down on fines if you're approaching people's private homes or even streets that you're not allowed to go down, or if you're harassing the geisha for pictures or video, they will slap you with a citation.
Yeah, I mean, the main street that we were only there for maybe 15-ish minutes, because there were so many people. But this is a private area. People still live there. But
it's a neighborhood.
Right.
Like, people live here.
But it's kind of the old architecture. So tons of people down there taking pictures. Yeah. And you can walk down the main street or road, no vehicles, but you can walk down the main road, but every street that intersects it, there are signs saying if you don't live there, you cannot walk down the street. They do not want you taking pictures even from the main road down. These are private homes.
Yeah.
And we were there for maybe 3 minutes, and I was like, I would just really like to see a geisha. And all of a sudden around the corner comes three of them, and I just felt like my trip to Japan was complete.
Yeah. And you watched them, and you know, and we did that, and they were very nice. They were very cordial, but you could tell they're going somewhere.
They're going
and
to
they
work.
Had stuff to do. So leave them alone, man. And they are not obligated to take pictures with you.
I do think we need to just say, if you're going to the Monkey Park in Kyoto, it is a hike. On the website, it says it is a gentle to moderate hike. No. It is a hike. So be prepared to walk up a mountain.
Osaka, Japan. Unscaled Travel Show. We'll see you guys next time.